Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents A Sweet Spot for Love by Aaliyah Burke, narrated by Sharon Friedman. Prologue. The noise from Rock in the Green echoed louder than normal in his head. Link blew out a breath. He had other things on his mind right now, but Tully needed him. Hell, he needed Tully and Mitchell as well, his best friends. Demons nipped at the recesses of his mind, clamoring like a pack of wolves to be free. He shoved them down. This was about helping Tully get out of the mood that had swamped him since the blow-up between him and Dawson Shea, the woman Tully had fallen in love with. Link strode over the hardwood floor, lips twitching as he watched the blue and green flashing lights ricochet around the room. The crowd was raucous, and he smiled as he dodged dancers and people yelling to hold conversations. Spotting his friends, he strolled over to them, clapping each on the shoulder.
"Not hard to find two of the ugliest mugs in here."
Mitchell shook his head and tipped up his mug of beer.
"You fucking adore me, so shut up,"
Tully grunted. Over his head, Link shared a look with Mitchell. Their friend wasn't in a good place. Perhaps a bar isn't the best place for him to be. It wouldn't be for Link, but he wasn't paying attention to his issues. As one, the three of them moved to a table in the rear. He nodded at people he recognized. Without speaking, he and Mitchell sat on either side of Tully. They waited. There wasn't any conversation between the three of them. Link didn't push. Tully would speak when he was ready. Not more than 5 minutes had passed before Tully heaved out a groan, then launched into a frustrated and dejected tirade. Listening to Tully gripe about the woman he was head over heels for, Link drained the rest of his drink. Mitchell glanced at him and jerked his chin at the empty mugs on the table. Without a word, Link rose and went to the bar. As he waited for their drinks, he scanned this side of the bar, his breath sharpening when he spied Dawson Shea sitting with her group of friends. She was a beautiful woman, and he could see the spark that Tully never shut up about. Her personality just pulled people to her. The women were laughing and enjoying their time.
"Here you go, Link."
"Thanks, Thad.
Put it on my tab, please."
He reached for the 6 mugs of beer.
"You got it, boss."
A 2-fingered salute, and Thad moved to help the next person at the bar. Making sure he had good grips on the handles, he lifted them, 3 in each hand. He took the longer way around and opted to pass closer to Dawson and her group. He knew all of them, except one, Emma Henriksen. She sat perched on a tall bar chair, her hair drawn away from her heart-shaped face in a French braid. Compared to most of the other women, her makeup was light. God, she's stunning. He struggled to ignore the pull to her. Hell, he longed to put the drinks down and sink his fingers in her hair, tug it free, and let those strands fall over his skin. Keep it together, Link.
Can we talk about your love life for a while?
Flora pointed to Emma, voice pitched to carry over the din of the gathered crowd. Emma smiled as she shook her head.
A single mom? I don't have a love life. What I have is an overactive imagination and a large supply of batteries.
Holy fuck. The floor opened beneath his feet, and he nearly hit his knees. Years of playing baseball was the only thing that saved him from falling on his face. He slowed, took deep breaths, and allowed his gaze to trace over Emma's profile. Gently, tenderly. Her features were soft, and his fingers itched to trace them. Swallowing the huge lump in his throat, he continued on without stopping. I'm going to spend all night thinking about her pleasuring herself with a vibrator. Emma, Jesus, woman, you're killing me.
He and his friends stayed at the bar for a while until Tully had had enough. Link tossed some money down to cover their tab and they headed to the door. His gaze skimmed those dancing, and he groaned again when he spied Emma in the middle of her friends, arms up as she danced with Dawson and the others. Link bit his cheek, keeping his moan contained.
Not the time or place.
Mitchell's low tone snapped Link from his own personal fantasy. Snapping his focus back to Tully, he caught his response.
It's public.
Stepping in front of his friend, he held his angry gaze.
And you've been drinking.
Thoughts of Emma, carefree and stunning, followed him home. Thoughts of her kept him awake until he brought himself to release later that night. Chapter 1.
Your meeting is in 10 minutes, Mr. Connor. Mr. Stevenson said he will call you then.
Franklin Link Connor paused mid-stride and leaned to peer at the woman at her desk. She stared at him as she fiddled with the mug by her right hand. The air held a hint of the lemon cleaner that had been used on the floors in the midday cleaning.
Link is fine, Ms. Yander.
He didn't want the center to become a place of strict formality. Respect? Definitely. But in the end, this was a community center, not a corporate office. Cynthia Yander, the tiny brunette, blushed, and by some miracle he kept the exasperation from showing on his expression. He truly needed to get himself an assistant who didn't care who he was or what his name meant to those in the sports world. Not a young girl from high school or some starry-eyed woman who thought that by being here she would garner additional benefits from working so closely with him. The last thing he needed right now was any complications. The center had to be his main focus. Was his main focus.
I'll try to remember.
They'd been officially open for more than a month. Hands in his pockets, he gave her a slight smile and continued down the hall. The meeting wasn't as important to him as making sure the kids were safe, learning, and having fun. And yet, in another aspect, it was just as important. The center needed funds to keep running. Not that he was strapped for money, because he wasn't. However, he wasn't foolish enough to ignore that investors could provide more options and opportunities. He peeked in the rooms with current activities and smiled at the hunger in the expressions on those gathered. He'd insisted on having a computer room that kids could utilize if they didn't have access at home, and tutors to assist with homework. The center offered sports, of course, but he didn't leave the arts out. Painting, music, and more. In his mind, these kids didn't have enough options for their futures, and he was trying to do more. Currently, he was recruiting high school students to help. They could use the money, and the work would teach them to help others and mold them into better team players for whatever they wanted to do after high school. He paused at the gym doors to glance inside and couldn't stop the grin at the sight of his best friend Mitchell Anderson taking on a team of middle schoolers in a rousing game of basketball. The man had played professionally and had no problem giving back as well. Neither of his friends did. The kids were running Mitchell well, making him work. The gym had plenty of spectators cheering them on. Mitchell was going to be busy for a while.
His friend glanced up in his direction and gave him a brief nod. Even not being on the court in a professional capacity any longer, there was no denying the man's skill. With a quick check of the time, he headed out to the backfield. The blue sky above was dotted with a few white fluffy clouds and some soaring birds, and the day was beautiful. The gentle breeze brought with it the clean mountain air. Beyond the batting cages, there was a football field with a track, as well as a baseball field. The track had some runners on it, but what caught his attention was the young girl hanging out, practically spying on the kids in the batting cages. He'd seen her a few times, but wasn't sure who she was. His phone rang, and he touched his left ear to accept the call.
"Mr. Stevenson, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me."
"My pleasure."
The man's booming Texas twang filled his ears. Link could picture him with a large white Stetson on his head as the man rocked in his high-backed leather chair, suit smooth and devoid of any and all wrinkles, one of those bolo neckties on. Handlebar mustache? No, probably a full one. The man continued.
"I looked over your proposal, and I'm impressed. Whoever wrote it outlined the key points with clarity."
Link bristled, but didn't respond. He was used to people assuming he had no brain because he played sports and because he wasn't white. He swung his gaze to the girl again. She was mimicking the batters, their stances, how they held the bat, all of it. Impressive. Unfortunately, also concerning, 'cause he didn't see any adult or older child with her. His protective instincts kicked in.
"My best man did it. I'm extremely interested in coming out for a visit to see your place."
What the fuck? He stumbled over his feet and quickly straightened up, glancing around to see if anyone had seen. Nope, he was in the clear.
"You want to come here?"
He'd not made any contingencies for that scenario.
"Yes, my wife and I are coming. I've made reservations at your town's hotel. We can do business face to face, like I prefer. Never been a fan of doing it this way, you know, over the phone. I need to look a man in the eye and shake his hand."
Well, shit.
"I'll make sure I have some time set aside if you can send me your itinerary when you're in town."
He laughed.
"Wonderful. Can't wait to watch you with the kids."
"Yes, sir." Despite his worry and concern for the visit, he continued to watch the girl. She didn't appear to be out of sorts, just shy, like a lot of the children who came to the center. That was one of the reasons he'd started it, to help girls like her, and boys, find friends, get a network of those they could trust around them.
"Like I mentioned, I'm bringing my wife. I do value commitment. I hadn't heard you were married, but you got a little lady? Might be good. Mate, what do you think?"
"Absolutely. Sounds like a great idea,"
Link said, without thought, as the girl swung her imaginary bat and turned a complete circle. His lips twitched as he wholeheartedly approved of her enthusiasm. He'd not heard at all what the man had said. Normally focused during a call like this, today he was distracted. She had spunk. That was certain. With a little bit of guidance, this girl would be well on her way to playing ball, assuming she could handle the ball flying at her head. It wasn't something everyone took to. Hell, boy or girl, you had to have a certain metal to not flinch at a ball careening toward your face.
"Wonderful! I do value commitment. See you then."
Bye, Mr. Stevenson.
He ended the call as he headed in her direction. He wanted the kids supervised so nothing could happen to them, knowing firsthand how it could, even in small-town USA. The fact that no one seemed to know this girl was out here alone didn't sit well with him.
Hey,
he said to her, pausing a few feet away. Link didn't want to freak her out. He wasn't a small man, and she didn't know him. At least, he didn't think she did. She spun toward him, eyes wide, and he was struck by the uniqueness of her gaze, green with flecks of a fiery hue that snagged him.
I'm Link.
He touched his hand to his chest. She nodded, but still didn't speak. Her high pigtails moved in time with her nod.
Did you wanna go down to the cages? Bat some balls?
Her gaze moved over him a few times, before landing ever so briefly on the practice, then returned to him. All she gave him was a shoulder shrug.
You do know that you're allowed to participate, if you want to, right?
He hoped that no one was being made to feel excluded, because that was not what he wanted to create here. I won't fucking stand for it. Another shoulder shrug.
I'd prefer you be where someone can see you and keep an eye on you. How about you sit with me over there, and we can watch it together, if you don't want to take any swings?
She rubbed her shoe into the ground, and he hid his smile. Her checkered jeans and black shirt just added to the adorable vibe. He also admired her caution.
Come on,
he said, gesturing to the larger gathering of children. The quiet child didn't say a single thing to him, but she headed in the direction he'd pointed at, keeping some distance between them. As they strode into view, a few kids called out greetings to him, but only one said anything to the girl.
Hey, Greer!
A young boy waved at her, showing off his missing tooth. Her responding wave wasn't nearly as enthusiastic, but it was something. And now he had a name.
She would like to bat as well.
Holding the gaze of one of the older boys, Link arched an eyebrow at him.
Of course. She can bat after Howard finishes his turn. Carly can get you outfitted with a bat and helmet, Greer.
Brandon was the captain of the high school baseball team, and in exchange for some additional time on the field and Link's advice, he was working with Link and the kids. It was paying off. The young man had grown and improved his team handling skills as well as his attitude. With a nod of thanks, Link stepped back and watched as Brandon got everyone working as a smooth unit, issuing orders like it was second nature to him. After high-fiving some of the kids hanging around, Link waited to watch Greer. Carly helped her with the stance and how to choke up on the bat. His heart swelled with pride. This entire place was his baby, and he'd poured a lot into it, but needed more to implement the other things he wanted to do. But baseball? Well, that was his sport. He perked up at the second swing from Greer. He hadn't been wrong, and she had no problem with the ball coming toward her head. This wasn't T-ball. They were getting low, slow balls lobbed in their direction. She had raw talent, and he thought about the baseball team they would be starting soon. Perhaps she would like to be part of that. His phone rang, and he touched his ear once more to answer.
Link?
Mr. Connor, there is someone here asking for you, a Mr. Harper?
I'll be right in.
Mr. Harper was one of the men he'd approached about being an investor, but the man hadn't wanted to be involved, despite the fact his son was here almost every day utilizing the facility. Do not punish the son for the sins of the father. His own father's words rang in his mind, and he took a deep breath as he thanked Miss Yander and ended the call. With a final glance in Greer's direction, he caught Brandon's gaze and gave a pointed look at the little girl, so he would know to keep an eye on her. Then he returned to the main building. Mr. Harper was a dour-faced man who loved to use his family's money to get what he wanted in town. When Link had been growing up, the man had never failed to try and make him feel like less because of who he was, for no other reason than because his father hadn't had tons of money and Link had worn a lot of secondhand clothes. Amazing what I will overlook to make sure my center has what it needs.
Good afternoon, Mr. Harper. You wish to see me? How can I be of assistance?
I want to talk to you about the baseball team.
The high school team?
He shook his head.
I can't help you because I have nothing to do with that.
He had made sure he wouldn't have anything to do with the school team. He had complete faith in the coach, the same man who had gotten him well on his way to the majors. The man crossed his arms and rocked on his heels.
I heard you were starting some teams for the center.
We are, by age grouping.
The center was growing fast and getting in people from other towns. He had to do what he could to make it fair to those playing.
I want Matt as the captain of his age group.
Link paused and tried to control the anger that surged through him like a living flame. Tried. It didn't spill free, but he sure as hell wasn't in a good headspace now.
Are you walking into my center and demanding what I do?
He crossed his arms and looked down at the man in front of him. When he'd been small, Mr. Harper had come off as an imposing man. Not so anymore. Link towered over him by more than a few inches, and what used to be muscle on Mr. Harper was now pudge.
That's not how things work here. The boy or girl who is honored enough to wear the title captain is picked by their teammates, not me.
He deserves this.
The man glared up at him.
I don't care what you think he deserves, Mr. Harper. That's not how I run things. Everyone has a fair shot.
A scoff.
Is this because I wouldn't invest in your business, or because of things when you were growing up?
Across the room, he spied Mitchell step into view, toweling off his face. His best friend gave him a raised eyebrow, and he responded with a minute headshake. He was okay. Didn't need the man to come back him up, even if Mitchell would be right there, if necessary.
Neither of those things have anything to do with this, Mr. Harper. Unlike you, I don't hold grudges. I asked you about an investment opportunity, and you declined. It's your money and your right to do what you want with it. I didn't want your reasons then, and I don't care about them now. My reason for doing what I am doing is because that's how things are done here. This place is about equality for all the children who step through the door, not just for those whose parents think they can buy them a position. Good day.
Walking off before he punched the fucker, he went across the floor to Mitchell.
How's it going?
Mitchell draped the towel around his neck before tunneling his fingers through unruly blonde hair.
Coming along. How was the game?
The former pro player groaned.
I think I'm getting old.
Link laughed and smacked him on the back.
You are.
That earned him a glare.
Just as old as you are. Yeah, but my bones aren't creaking like yours.
He grunted.
Don't remind me. You sure you're okay? Mr. Harper doesn't seem happy.
Link rolled his eyes.
He's not. He wants me to just give his son the captain position on the baseball team we're putting together.
Mitchell snorted, then smirked.
Does he not know how you operate?
A slow grin filled Link's face.
He does now.
Greer came in with the other children, and he watched her smile and run over to the wall where he saw Dawson Shea, fiancé to his other best friend Tully Faulkner, talking to another parent. Dawson and Tully, who used to play professional hockey, got engaged recently after a rough start to their relationship.
Emma.
The name escaped him on a breath. It had been 6 months since he'd seen Emma at the bar and heard about her overactive imagination.
What's that now?
Mitchell canted his head to the side, a shit-eating grin on his face.
Greer,
Link said, clearing his throat, grateful for his darker skin.
I couldn't remember where I'd seen her before, but when she went to Dawson, I remembered she was Emma's daughter.
Right, Mitch drawled out, more than simple disbelief in that single word.
That's why you said Emma's name on that low, drawn-out breath.
He clapped him on the back.
Can't wait till Tully finds out about this.
He waggled a finger.
Almost as good as Tully with the throaty sigh. I think I just heard yours.
Shit. Mitchell loved to gossip, and no amount of bribery could stop him, because he was grinning like the fucking Cheshire Cat. He was fucked. Emma rubbed the stiffness out of her lower back, biting her lip to stop the moan of pain from escaping. She needed a new job. Greer bounced into the room, fresh from her shower, grinning from ear to ear. Like a little mountain goat, her daughter clambered up into the chair that was really too high for her.
I batted today, Mommy.
You batted? At the community center? Greer nodded with such enthusiasm, Emma wondered if she would slide off the chair.
Even when it was pitched to me.
A wider grin.
I love baseball.
3 words that made all of her own pain vanish as she moved to slip into the chair nearest her daughter. Greer didn't love anything. Her daughter was one of the most withdrawn and quiet kids she'd ever met. She liked things, but never has she heard her daughter say she loved anything. And the fact she loved having something tossed in the direction of her head, well, that was proof that a child didn't solely take after the one who raised them, because for her, that would not be a fun pastime. She loved watching baseball. Okay, one player in particular. Had since high school. However, she had no desire to play the game.
You do?
Greer nodded before blowing some of her wet hair out of her face. Emma took the hint and rose for the brush. Moments later, they'd moved, and her daughter sat cross-legged on the couch in front of her as Emma combed out her hair. What do you love about baseball, Greer?
The numbers of it. And it's fun.
Emma swallowed as she tried to figure out who this person was and what had happened to her quiet daughter. Not that she wasn't thrilled to know that she'd found something that called to her. Emma wanted her out and living, making friends, having a wonderful time in school and after school. Everything Emma herself hadn't had. She hadn't even graduated high school. She pushed her own maudlin thoughts away. This wasn't about her. It was about Greer.
The numbers of it.
Greer nodded, her hair bouncing.
When I look, I see angles and stuff.
Oh, God. Her daughter was a freaking genius, and she was woefully unprepared.
angles. She could see a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?